Welcome to Rewilding Love. This season is with a couple on the brink of divorce.
This is episode number 10, Uncovering the Inner GPS.
Within 5 minutes, I was back loving my wife again and worshipping the ground that she walks upon. 5 minutes earlier, I was wishing the ground would swallow her up and take her into the depths of hell to never be seen again.
No one has the power over me to make me feel a certain way.
If you can see that, that's life-changing.
What if we could somehow find a way to make you poke-proof?
I'd just rather not get poked.
Pressure and performance don't make very good bedfellows, do they?
It's like having like a navigation system.
Exactly. I love that GPS.
What I've heard from her thus far, that she's kind of white-knuckled her way through life, trying to control everything. She's hopefully going to press the spiritual overdrive button.
What I think I've experienced is at least a pin drop of that bliss of just living in the moment.
It's very different to think of things this way.
You are listening to Rewilding Love with me, Angus Ross.
And me, Rohini Ross.
Rewilding Love is a podcast about relationships.
We believe that love never disappears completely in relationships. It can always be rewilded. Listen in as we guide a real couple back to their natural state of love.
Relax and enjoy the show.
I just would like it noted for the record that I was willing to sit in the uncomfortable seat for this podcast episode, and I'm not speaking metaphorically, I'm actually speaking physically and literally.
And I just want to note for the record that when I was in the uncomfortable seat, I don't think you were enjoying the amount of noise that I was making. And so that's why we decided to change, I thought.
It's true. And I have to acknowledge, Angus, that you are very chivalrous and would normally put yourself in the uncomfortable seat. But in terms of sitting down and doing a recording, the squirming wasn't working for the sound.
No, it wasn't. Anyway, I'm sure our listeners don't want us to share our difficulties with the seating arrangements here. Let's get on to the more important matters at hand.
Well, in this episode, I was really interested in seeing how there was synchronicity between our sessions and how in the last episode with Matteo, he had this, what I thought was a pretty big insight. And now in this episode with Alicia, she has what she calls her click moment.
Yes, I think that the bar was raised significantly, so she better show up in this particular segment, hadn't she? I don't know if a click moment really qualifies as an insight, but I guess it falls into that territory.
Well, you'll have to tell me, but I think it does.
I think it probably does, but we'll see.
And also, I do want to preface that the language that I'm using with Alicia, she is a Christian, and so I really wanted to use language that she would relate to. So I am using words like God and other spiritual terms because that was something that is important and meaningful to her. And with all of the clients we work with, we want to use language that relates to their worldview.
It's funny. I know that there are definitely occasions where we have to sort of tailor our sharing of this understanding in a way where we feel like we're not going to offend anybody on religious lines. But I think it's quite difficult to do that, in my estimation, because I think that a lot of this understanding falls very nicely into most people's religious beliefs. And I certainly think with Christian philosophy, a lot of what Jesus was pointing to lines up with this understanding in very eloquent ways.
Absolutely. And what we're really pointing to is how we can all be rewilded by our true nature, that spiritual essence that is found within us. And so although we're not speaking from any specific religious or even particular spiritual point of view, we are looking in the direction of how we can all be rewilded by that innate sense of self, who we are.
Yeah, and I think that this understanding is baked into pretty much all spiritual philosophy. And obviously, each spiritual philosophy has its own maybe its own language surrounding it. And I don't think that we ever find ourselves out of kilter with it. But I do appreciate, you know, what you're doing here in terms of trying to use terminology that would be more in alignment with Christianity.
Let's hear from Alicia.
There is a higher power there that you can kind of have your own relationship with and talk to. And,
absolutely.
And go that route and just know that whatever's meant to be is meant to be, and that all the struggles that you go through and all the hard times, like, it's because you can withstand it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what we've been talking about in terms of when you said, do nothing and write it out, what is allowing you to write it out is there is that higher power that is taking care of you, that it's kind of, it, that's what clears your mind.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to clear your mind.
That's true.
And you know, in the Christian tradition, it's you know, you give your problems to Jesus, or you give them to God, or you know, let God take the wheel.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what we're talking about here, is that you recognize that your engagement is not helping the situation. You let go, and you let that deeper spiritual energy take over. Yeah. And take care of you. And so that's why it kind of fills you up.
Yeah.
You know, the more you let go, the more you get filled up.
And so whatever you just said really just clicked to me, because I was just like, when I do get stirred up, I should just remember, like, okay, God, you got this.
That's right. Like, exactly.
And I don't think that I've ever thought of it that way.
Right.
And I think that right now, just like that clicky moment where I'm like, well, there is that higher power that can handle that.
That's exactly the time when you want that higher power to come in.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's your true nature. Like, that spiritual energy is your essence.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's recognizing that the essence of who you are will be able to navigate that. And you don't have, your intellect is not going to be able to figure that out. Mm-mm. It's like way too complicated for your intellect to do.
Sometimes we think that we can.
I know, we do.
Yeah.
We like to, you know, I definitely can relate to thinking like, I have control, I can work hard, I can do this. And we just get tired and make a mess of things sometimes.
So I think the exact line is, let Jesus take the wheel. And I think you're borrowing that lyric from a country and western singer, the name of which I have no idea, but nevertheless, I think that is the correct line.
I would agree with you, but I think I got it pretty close.
but I do like the direction that you're taking this in.
Yeah, I think it was really important for her to see that the way that she was navigating the relationship and life in general was with a very high effort at trying to control things and putting the weight of that on her shoulders. And I could hear when I said something along the lines of, you don't have to clear your mind. Like, there was something, when I just listened back, I heard it just like, oh, yeah. And for her to see that it's not on her to have her mind clear, that there is this knowing inside of her that she would refer to as God or spirit, that actually has an intelligence within it to help her stabilize, that she doesn't have to figure everything out with her personal mind, that there's actually a way that she can open to something that's greater and deeper within her, and that just takes the pressure off.
Yeah, it's almost like difficulty.
Absolutely. And that she was saying that she'd never thought of it that way before. That was also something that I thought was really key and that I look for when working with clients. And so when she said that she hadn't thought about it that way before, I knew that something was shifting inside of her and that she was having some fresh thinking. She was looking at it from a new perspective, a new understanding. And so that felt very hopeful for me.
Yeah, she definitely seemed like she got some elevation there.
And so in the next clip, I just speak to her a little bit more about this.
That's really the essence of what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we don't just work with Christians, like, we're really pointing to that spiritual essence that is behind life.
Yeah.
You know, that drives life, and that there's an intelligence in that that is way more comprehensive and infinite than our small mind can ever figure out. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, it's great that you have your intellect to, you know, get your job, things right. going, like it's very useful. But for the deeper feeling, more heartfelt things, it's like we want to really rely on that deeper part of us
yeah.
to lead the way.
Yeah, definitely. It is liberating to think yeah. of that. It's like you do have the assistance, even though you think you're in it alone, that you can look to a higher power to be like, all right, help me through this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love how working in this intensive format really allows for the deepening of the sessions. And I feel that as I've worked with Alicia throughout the sessions, that we've just gone deeper and deeper each time, from looking at the role that her relationship with her thinking has in her life, to now looking at this much deeper point, which is what happens when she's not identifying with her personal thinking, what else is available to her. And I think, you know, she's really blossoming into that exploration really beautifully here. And that the experience of when I listen to her sharing is that she's just so much lighter and got so much more inner freedom.
Yeah, she's really settled down. And that's something that's been very noticeable to me, listening to her share. And I think that in that settling down, she's got to a higher vantage point, has much better perspective on the relationship, and most importantly, the relationship she has with herself, and is starting to see how to move forward on that level will be really a great compass point for her to focus on the ways that she can quiet her mind.
And I really want to point everyone who's listening to how this is generic. What we're talking about is universal. This is not just about Alicia Mateo. That whenever we don't identify so strongly with our personal thinking and we open up to that different kind of knowing, that deeper knowing within ourselves, we're able to navigate life much more gracefully.
Yeah, and I think that she is now willing to tune into that other channel, so to speak, the channel of her higher self. And that's what we'll be playing on the radio when Jesus takes the wheel.
But it's thinking like, oh, that's for those important things.
Mm-hmm.
But to start to see, actually, no, this is a way of navigating day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And to see that, oh, that deeper knowing, that's like, okay, you're going to handle this. Like, that deeper knowing is communicating with you the whole time. Life gets created differently when that has more of the lead. You come from a very different place inside of yourself when you're creating from there.
It's almost like more tranquil to me.
It is. Yeah. I would absolutely agree. That makes perfect sense.
It's almost like nice to think that, like, I don't have to be in control of everything.
Yes.
And, like, be the boss. Or, like that's actually... Like, in this moment, I just almost felt like pressure just released, because I was like, I don't have to do all that. I don't
That's
have
right.
to be in control. I don't have to be the responsible adult. Like, things will come together as they're meant to come together.
The key point I initially wanted to make here is that listening to our inner knowing, our common sense, whatever we want to label that, is very practical and available day to day. It's not something that's just reserved for big problems or certain situations, that we can actually have that as our compass point for navigating life.
Yeah, it really feels like in this section she's getting a taste for what that means, and evidently it is something that is a comfortable fit, or it appears that it's going to be a comfortable fit for her.
Well, and she has this experience in this section where she feels the pressure release off of her chest. And we talk about it a little bit later in the session as well. But she has this visceral experience of letting the anxiety go, which to me is a clear demonstration that her relationship with her anxious thinking has shifted in this moment, that she went from feeling the pressure and anxiety because she was identifying with that thinking to having an insight, realizing that she can let go, be present, and listen to the deeper knowing within herself and not try and navigate life with her intellect and by figuring things out. And she experienced a feeling of letting go.
And you can feel the relief of that. And I definitely always got the impression, or what I've heard from her thus far, that she's kind of white-knuckled her way through life, trying to control everything and hang on very tightly. And now she can see that there's an opportunity for some great release here and relief in having to not hang on so tightly.
And really, this is a lesson for all of us. I'm still remembering this and learning this. This is an infinite journey of waking up to the fact that we can let go. And so the more that I see this in my own life, the more that I recognize when I'm thinking that I'm running the show or that I'm getting caught up in thought as a way to get, you know, buy into that illusion of control, it is always such a relief to remember that, no, that's not how it works.
And I guess one of the most important elements of this understanding, and it doesn't matter where we all fall on the spiritual or philosophical spectrum, with a sense that there is a higher power or an intelligence behind life, is the realization that where you tend to hang on really tightly is through the system of your own thinking. And that's generally where you get yourself into trouble, trying to sort of control and manage every part of your human experience. And to think that at some point you can just let go of the wheel, go into neutral, and feel that there is a push from that higher power that's already always leading you towards balance and harmony, there is so much relief in that. And we're all hopefully learning that an awareness at this level will make life a whole lot easier.
And that's the rewilding, that we're all allowing ourselves to be rewilded by that innate intelligence that's moving towards balance and harmony, and that there's opportunities for every single one of us to open up to that more fully.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in the next section, we continue to use navigational metaphors, but I actually didn't come up with it.
I know. You set a precedent, I feel, by talking about that song line, or you're using metaphors left, right, and center.
Letting yourself go with what is actually your deeper knowing that allows things to go more smoothly, but you're still part of it. So it's like you show up, you know, it's like, okay, turn right here. Well, you do turn right there, but it takes the pressure off of you. Like you said, when you felt that pressure lift, it's kind of like, oh, you're ready to show up, but you're not on constant duty having to figure everything out.
Yeah, totally. It's like having like a navigation system.
Exactly. I love that. GPS.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got your GPS and it gives you the next couple of turns, but it doesn't give you the next 100 turns. Like, so it's like all you need is, okay, this is where it's pointing me right now.
And you're good still enough. In control of like making those turns and whatnot. Yeah. You can take some of the thinking out of it.
I love that you're seeing that. Uh-huh. And I love that you felt kind of that pressure.
Yeah, like that was really weird. Because I'm like, oh, I can breathe. And I was like, oh, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah, so that feeling is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so when you start to feel the pressure come in, you're forgetting that you have that guidance system of a higher power available to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking on too much of the responsibility, like you're...
It's like my checkpoint at times.
Yeah,
like if
it is.
If you're taking on too much, it's like,
you're
going to
feel it. Yeah, you're going to feel it. Like, just like we've been talking about how our feelings come from inside of us, pressure is an indicator to let you know that you've forgotten who's really in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, oh, it's because I have this much work to do. It's like, no, I've forgotten who's really in charge right now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it's on me.
Yes.
You got a big smile.
I'm thinking that too. I'm like, cause literally I just thought about my like to-do list at work and I was like, oh yeah, you got it. It's liberating to think that way. And it's liberating to be like, there's times, yes, you have to be in control, of course, but like I don't have to be in control of every last
detail. That's right.
Detail.
Like I love that GPS analogy you use, because it's like, you do what you're kind of being called forward to do.
Yeah.
But there's so much less when that's all it is.
Okay, well, what I love about this section is that is the way that you pointed out to Alicia that the pressure that she feels in these situations is akin to her to getting out of kilter with her higher self, her spiritual power, as she likes to see it. I think you missed an opportunity to use another motoring metaphor, because I think that would be her check engine light coming on. And that would be the indicator to her that she needs to pull over to the side of the road, take her hands off the wheel. In fact, she doesn't really need to pull over. She can just let the autopilot kick in. And that's the beauty of this human experience, when we really honor and respect. There is an intelligence behind life, just twiddling its thumbs in the wings, waiting for us to kind of reach out. Because there are all these prompts that can come through intuition or instinct. And we just get better equipped to be able to listen to them and follow them.
And she did mention the checkpoint. And so I think she was getting close to that metaphor.
She did, but not quite.
Not quite. I would agree that there's that wonderful feedback system that we have from our emotions, and that from this section we can hear how she finally realized that that pressure she was feeling in her chest was not normal. Until then, that had just been the chronic norm. But once it got released, she has a new reference point for what it feels like when it's not there. So she's going to notice much more quickly when that comes back in, like you're saying, and that's going to be her reminder to let her know when she's getting caught up in her anxious thinking, so that she can do whatever she needs to do at that point to take care of herself.
And it's such a glorious way to become present to what is, because I know that if I'm fully aware of the feeling state that is taking me into a more negative way of thinking, then I realize right off the bat that I'm not present by virtue of the fact that my mind has taken me to some point in the future or is dredging up the past, but it's not there ready and willing to receive the moment and experience the moment. And that's the sweet spot. That's when the intellectual machinery is not engaged, and that's a much better place from which to live my life at any point, really.
Yeah, that's a great point, that what we're talking about, another way of pointing to it, is to talk about presence, that when we're really in the present moment, we are in the now, and there's an incredible lightness and freedom when we're able to do that, and that it really opens up the capacity to hear the inner feedback and be responsive to that. And that was another point that I was making in this section, was how when we're talking about letting go of control, it's not a passive activity. It's really a very active listening to that deeper knowing within ourselves. And that when we listen deeply to that knowing, there's going to be actions that we get prompted to engage in. So it's really just a letting go of the illusion that we have to have it all figured out, and allowing the inner promptings to be the guide along the way. But it's not a passive, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing and see how life unfolds. It's a very much an active engagement with that deeper listening and acting from that place.
Yeah, it's an active engagement, but in a sense, it's also it can be very subtle, and it can be very quiet engagement. What is that Buddhist term or quote? When the mind quiets, the soul speaks. For me, that really points to this understanding from this vantage point, that when we get quiet and when we respect that there is this GPS system, that those prompts and those intuitions will be much more available to us by virtue of the fact that we are disengaging ourselves from the noise and the static of our intellectual machinery at those points where we can see that our feeling state has gone south.
And not only are we more capable of listening when we're in that more quiet mind, in this next part, I really look at how there's an additional benefit of increased resilience when we're in that place of presence.
Love it.
And when I'm talking about your resilience, your ability to bounce back, that's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Like that source, the source of who you are, that's why you're resilient, because you always bounce back.
Yeah.
Like that's inside of everybody, whether they realize it or not, it's there. But the more you recognize, like, it doesn't matter if I get knocked down, because you get filled up again, you let go, and you're like, okay, now what?
Yep.
I'm going to figure this out now.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of, the analogy goes back to, like, even with children, like, if they touch the fire, they're going to learn real quick.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
sometimes you have to trust that you have to let them make a mistake or fall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the same thing now. It's like, I have to trust that, like, I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to fall, but, like, there's a safety net there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love what you're saying. No, it's so great. All the metaphors you're using are fantastic. So a safety net, it's like, yeah, being human, there's going to be knocks along the way. None of us escape that, but there's a safety net.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
It, like, makes you feel, like, a little bit more warm and, like, secure that, like, things are going to go awry. That's life.
But that is life.
To know that, like, you're not really in it alone, even though you may think so, but you're also going to be able to bounce back no matter how hard it may potentially be.
Exactly. And when you let go and you allow that deeper wisdom to come forward, like, that's infinite what's available to you there. Like, you're going to get fresh ideas, you're going to get new mm-hmm. thoughts. Like, there's nothing that your life can hand you that wisdom that you have inside of you cannot handle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you're going and opening up all, like, the chakras and everything. Like,
it's, yeah.
It's really cool to actually, because I feel like I've always, like, you know, thought about it or, like, acknowledged it and, like, seen that people feel these things. But then actually to, like, finally let it click within yourself, you're just like, whoa.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's, it's experiential.
Yeah. And I feel like you have to almost really be open to it before you can actually believe it or feel it. Because I feel like I've acknowledged it.
Right.
But I never really, like, was open to just being like, let's see.
Alicia's on fire with her metaphors.
She is.
She's rivaling you.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe I can get some tips from her.
I really appreciated her safety net metaphor, because it said to me that she was experiencing that place of safety within herself. She's no longer walking on the tightrope of having to get it right. She's feeling that inner relaxation of being okay to be human, being okay to be learning as she's going along, not having to hold it together, hearing that she's got her own resilience, or recognizing she has her own resilience to work things out as she goes along. It doesn't have to be working out all of the time. To me, what she's speaking to here, and especially with that reference point to that safety net, that's that recognition that she ultimately is okay within.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you talk about learning as you go along. And I think that what are we here for if not to grow and learn in our human experience? I guess, you know, as I said before, I like to think that our sole purpose to be here in this human experience is to evolve in consciousness, and to look at it from that perspective, growth and learning would be the objective. And so on that basis, and understanding that we have a GPS system that's feeding us, you know, prompts from the wings, trying to guide us and help us to move forward, then really that's really such a relief to think that, you know what, I'm just doing my best at all times. I'm doing my best. And I have this incredible GPS system that will help me course correct as I move along. And I think that for me certainly is a great source of comfort.
And it really takes the pressure off. And what I think is key, especially here with Alicia Mateo, but for all of us, is to recognize that as human beings, the more pressure we have on ourselves, the less our performance benefits from that. Pressure and performance don't go well together.
Yes, pressure and performance don't make very good bedfellows, do they?
No, not at all.
Not very good in bed together.
On many levels.
On so many levels.
So there was one other point I wanted to make for this section. Can I switch topics?
Yes.
The other piece that Alicia noted, I thought she had a lot of great insights and awarenesses here, is that she said...
Oh, you're very keen to point out all these great insights and awarenesses that Alicia has had, but I don't know if she's caught up with Matteo yet, based on his last showing. Anyway, but please, carry on.
I don't think it's a competition. But if it was...
I would be winning.
I know who's ahead. Well, what I was going to say is that she recognizes the difference between getting something intellectually and having an experiential knowing of it, which I thought was very astute of her. She said that you have to be open to it. And what she's pointing to is that she had this visceral experience of understanding that it's okay to let go. It wasn't an intellectual idea. She felt it. So to me, that's the only thing that matters, because we can have all kinds of good ideas that don't really do anything for us in terms of our experience and our behavior. But when it drops down to an experiential knowing, that's really powerful. And that's what she had a taste of here. And even just a taste of that goes a really long way. And that's what I point to in the next section.
Yeah, that is quite powerful. I'll give you that. Or I'll give her that. I don't know if that gives her the edge, though, yet.
It's very generous of you.
Because it's the natural design, like, we're naturally designed to have wisdom come forward. We're naturally designed to have this essence expressed in the world. You just create a little opening, or big opening, but even a little opening, and it's going to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It just needs a little bit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me, what's really standing out to me about what you're saying is you're seeing that it's not on you.
Yeah.
And that you can really rest so much better understanding that it's not on you, and that yes, you're participating and you're showing up, but it's a different level of responsibility than you've been holding.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to fit, like, when you're overthinking, it's trying to find the answer in the intellect.
Yeah.
And it's not there.
Right.
It's never going to come from there.
Right.
Because if you knew, the intellect pretty much figures it out in a few minutes. You know, I was like, oh, I know the answer. What is it?
People too.
But yeah, exactly. But if it's not there, you're not going to get the answer from there.
Yeah.
It's going to come from new, fresh thinking coming from that wisdom coming in.
Yeah. And I think that that's something that'll create the neutral state.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the neutral state is being just open to that. And how it comes forward, and that when you, the more stirred up you are, the harder it is to be open.
Mm-hmm.
So the more alone you feel, even though you're not alone, but the more alone you feel, because it's like, if you look at it like an open mind is wide open, and so you can be really connected and really feel peaceful and feel that guidance come in really easily. But the more stirred up our thinking gets, it's like that contracts and it becomes really small. So it's really difficult to kind of feel or recognize whatever that wisdom is,
mm-hmm.
because there's just so much noise coming from the other thoughts.
Yeah, it's all being blocked out.
Exactly. Because it's more of a subtle feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, than the noise of our anxiety or insecurity. Like, that's really noisy and just, you know, wants to get our attention. But this other experience of knowing, of feeling that tranquility that you're talking about, feeling that you're being held and that you're not alone, like, that's much quieter and mm-hmm. subtle, but profound and powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's basically, you get better at having the noise go into the background and this other experience come into the foreground. And you know what it feels like. And when it shifts, you're like, oh, I'm on the wrong side of things. And you kind of go back. And what's been happening is you've just been living in the noise a lot.
Uh-huh.
And it's even like this, oftentimes, this really shows up when life situations happen that are difficult. So you've been in a difficult life situation, but it's just magnified what was already happening internally, right? So this is the this is the how you've been navigating, and then this difficult life situation just makes it more clear, like, oh, this isn't working how I've been navigating.
Yeah.
So now, though, the beauty of it is, because it's like, wait a second, this is really difficult, you get to learn and have a different understanding that allows you to even be in this difficult situation in a new, easier way, but you take it forward even when you're not in this difficult situation and you have a new understanding.
For sure.
So that goes with you.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, such a key learning, because it's like, I don't know, it's just like different to kind of just know that, like, you aren't alone and it's not your decisions. It's like, just follow the navigation.
Exactly.
Just go with it and just see where it lands. And it's nice to know that that's there. I just got to quiet out the noise.
That's right.
So I love the way that you're guiding her here. I feel like I will concede that she's evidently had quite a major insight.
Thank you.
With that insight, I would suggest that she's probably had a jump in consciousness. And in that jump, what I really like about what you're doing is that you're really helping her anchor that in, getting a sense of what she's seen so that she can really move forward with it in a way where she has a keener sense of what she's seen and can now use it in practical terms.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, taking something that she's feeling, but then helping her see how that's going to support her in very practical ways in life. But one of the things that she said that helped me recognize that she's had that shift is she talked about that neutral state and respecting that neutral state. And I don't know that she's even considered before this the value of having a neutral state of mind. And so that opens up so many possibilities for her.
And even though it's been chronic, it can shift like that. Like that's like what you just felt, what you've seen, like that's a shift.
Yeah.
That's like a light bulb going on.
I know it was. It was weird. I've never felt that too. And I was like, wait, did I have something on my chest? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. So that is what you get to take with you.
Yeah. And I think that's, I wish for everybody that they can understand that and feel that. And it's almost like, I almost feel like we've been gypped as children, like to not have a class like this in elementary school or high school.
I know.
To be within yourself almost.
Yeah. As you live this in your life and you feel that pressure continue to recede and it becomes less of the norm and you live more from that place of a feeling of connected and just really letting yourself be guided and seeing how graceful most things are when you do it that way, like, yes, there's still going to be knocks, but it's also incredibly amazing how easy things are too when you do that. But people will be impacted by that. Like, there's going to be a ripple effect. Like, if you and I just had this and you went back to him, he'd be like, oh, she's different. There would be a ripple effect there.
Yeah.
You'd show up differently and, you know, who knows how that would unfold, even if he didn't come. Your people you work with that see you every day, they're going to feel that too.
Yeah.
And family members. So you're going to create your own little ripple effect. And who knows what you'll share, how you'll share it.
Right.
Well, I imagine that when you were hearing what she said real time, you would have been like one of those linebackers who just received the ball in the end zone and was now doing their victory dance towards the crowd. That was definitely quite an insight in terms of how it was registering on the Richter scale.
I'm not really known for my victory dances in session.
I think you should incorporate them.
Some movement therapy. Expressive dance incorporated.
Yes, an expressive dance. Maybe a yodel. I don't know.
I take it as a compliment from you.
I would love to hear a yodel in a therapy suite as a sign that someone had a major insight.
Well, anything else?
No, I think that, again, you know, she's obviously, it's almost like it's slow release medicine. She's had this insight And it's just sinking into greater depths and having more and more of an impact on her.
Yeah. No, it was really beautiful to witness. And again, when there is that kind of visceral response in a session, it's such a clear indicator that there has been a shift, because it's not just an intellectual understanding. The body is communicating the shift, which is profound. And what I think is really key is recognizing how in this session and how change really happens is it happens in an instantaneous way when we get that click, when we see something new, when we see something fresh, when we have a realization of something that we haven't seen before. There's an instantaneous shift that changes everything. And I don't know enough about biology, but I would imagine it has the potential to shift things even down to a DNA level. I'm not an expert in that area, I want to be clear. But that kind of shift is what we're always looking for. And even when there is that kind of shift, the person is still on the learning curve for integrating that shift. And I think that that is key. And I'll talk more about that with her as well. But the recognition from where change comes, I think, is important. Because often people try to change at the level of the intellect, at the level of behavior. And what we're really pointing our clients to is that change comes from a new insight coming from the unknown.
Yeah, when things click, shift happens.
Yes.
It's very different to think of things this way and just being like, just go with, roll. I guess that's why they had that saying, like, roll with the punches and whatnot.
Yeah. So. And it's, but I love that you're seeing the spiritual element, because it's not kind of nihilistic, I'll roll with the punches. It's like, It's like you're going with the flow of a deeper intelligence. Mm-hmm. And even though on the surface it might feel like the punches, it's actually, there's always something greater going on. Sometimes it's more obvious to us than others, but that we can trust that whatever is meant to be.
Totally. And that's what I mean by like roll with the punches. It's just like rolling with like whatever life throws you, because you are going to be guided whether you think that you're not.
That's right.
And just going with it and trusting it.
Yeah.
And then just being like, yeah, God's in your hands, or take the wheel and just.
That's right.
I'm going to let you do you.
That's and like,
then let me know how I react after, you know, and just kind of, that almost like is, puts me at least at ease.
Yeah. I'm hoping
that
it can really allow you to feel that more tranquility and peace. And that even this situation is part of that intelligence.
Yeah.
Like, even though it's not your preference,
no,
you wouldn't
not.
Have asked for it this way, but it's that intelligence being expressed through the two of you doing the best that you can.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's wisdom in it.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds.
Yep.
Like, it's just, but it's got a lot of, you know, muddled up thinking in there too.
Well, as you said, the insight just keeps getting deeper as the session unfolds. And her use of the language, you know, roll with the punches, she was definitely speaking to it from that place of accepting what is. But I did want to make sure that she was clear, and I'd love to make sure that our listeners are clear, that there's a distinction between resignation and acceptance. And when she's saying roll with the punches, she's not talking about it from the perspective of resignation, just kind of roll over and accept what is. And, you know, it has to be good enough, even though we're not really okay with it. Resignation is actually a form of resistance to what is. It isn't truly acceptance. And acceptance is really about being open to what is without resistance to it. And that's incredibly freeing and liberating when we're able to do that. Whereas resignation has resistance embedded in it, and it is not freeing and liberating at all. And so she was speaking about rolling with the punches from that place of accepting what is. And Byron Katie has one of my favorite quotes where she says, when you fight, this might not be the exact quote, but it's something like this: when you fight with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time.
Hmm, that's cool. Yeah, and the thing that I wanted to say at this point, which is I've feel is really noticeable. There's a beautiful rapport between you, but there's a real gentle quality to it, a real, you know, that seems to indicate a very settled mind as far as she's concerned. And I think this is on the back of her having what evidently is a really beautiful insight. And what I find, I kind of find it somewhat uncanny that both our clients, as it were, in separate rooms, are having similar experiences. They're seeing something new and fresh for the first time. And their whole disposition is really quietening down. And they're getting a whole new, fresh perspective. And isn't it amazing how that obviously was happening simultaneously? And you would never have thought that at the day's beginning. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is really beautiful that we're all sort of coming together and meeting in that space, you know, Rumi's field out beyond right doing and wrongdoing. There is a field. We're meeting in that place of non-judgment, that place of unconditional love, and they're just dropping into it.
Yeah, and doing everything to sort of validate why we do our intensives in this way, to sort of create a sort of almost like a spa setting where they just get to relax and unwind and settle. And here we are at this point, both on the same page. It's quite remarkable.
And I think it's also important to note that in this session with Alicia, we're not talking about Mateo. There's no blame. There's no exploration so much. We're really looking at what allows her to have her inner freedom and peace of mind.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's getting new optics, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love how lit up your face is. You can't see it. It's like, wow.
It's like one of those like click moments. You're just like, okay, this is what it was intended to be. And this is, you know, that you did spiral. And then this is the bringing you back to reality and to that calm moment to be like, it works out. It always does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So in terms of that click moment, in terms of when you felt that pressure lift off of you, that's the experience of having a realization, right? So there's the experiential feeling of that. Now the intellect is going to capture some, you know, don't try to intellectualize it. You might get some ideas about it, but it's beyond the intellect. It's a deeper feeling. You get that, right? It's
like
you felt it in a deeper way, and you just follow the feeling.
Yeah, and it's like kind of one of those things, the intellect is almost like it can steer you the wrong way because you start making all these scenarios.
Yes.
And instead of listening to that, I mean, I can acknowledge it, but then not give it any life.
Yeah, you don't want to overthink it, basically.
Right.
But it's alive. It's the wisdom is in it. Follow the feeling, you know, just soak up that feeling. It's a beautiful feeling. Mm-hmm. But don't crush it with your intellect. Is basically what I'm saying.
Not that intellectual.
No, but it's, you can't get it wrong. I don't want you to think you can get it wrong, but sort of pointing to, like, you can just trust that feeling, what you felt was real.
Yeah.
And that's enough. That means, like, those are the kinds of things that Angus and I look out for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is this landing? And not everybody has that kind of really, clear experience the way you did, but when it's like that, it's really obvious. Like, oh, something has landed. She's now, your understanding was here, and now it's here.
Yeah.
So that's the part that is different. And once that happens, you can't go back.
Thank God.
You can't go back. So it doesn't mean that you're not going to trip up.
Right.
But you can't unsee what you've seen.
True.
Right? So you saw something that you're not going to be able to forget forever. So you might have momentary forgetting, but then you'll be like, oh yeah, that's right, let go of the wheel.
You
know, who's in charge here?
Yeah.
And you'll remember sooner. But it's qualitatively different to live from that place than it is from when you didn't see that before.
It's funny because I feel like this whole situation, had I followed my head, I would have been out.
Yes, exactly.
That would have been following my intellect, which I decided not to listen to.
Which your friends were like, is she crazy? Because they're like, you should follow your intellect.
And I feel like that's probably viewed for the both of us, like for both sides. Like, are you crazy or is she crazy? Yeah. And I think that despite everything, I mean, we're both still here. Obviously, our hearts and our yeah. inner wisdom was telling us
something like, else was bigger and than pulling what was us. Going on here. Yeah, which is really beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, that's really beautiful.
And that's why, like, when I thought, actually, when I thought when Nye said yesterday that, like, he needed someone to tell him what to do, I think that it's more so, like, you just need to follow your heart and yeah. realize that the wisdom and the higher powers is what's going to guide you and pull you to this. And I think that it's being said that, like, we need to be all in this because this yeah. is where we're at right now
yeah.
versus listening to all of the
yeah.
chaos.
Right, exactly.
Love the fact that you're giving her all this room to really acknowledge the insight that she's had and helping her really get to see how this experience is going to be life-changing. It's a real defining moment for her. And I think that you did a really good job in allowing her to really expand into that some more.
Thank you. It was really exciting to witness. It's always exciting when we see our clients make those kind of shifts. So it was fun. And I could see the shift in her face, you know, the lightness, the light around her was wonderful. And I wanted to reassure her that even though she wasn't going to necessarily be in this kind of peak experience for the rest of her life, that what she was seeing was what was important. It's not the peak experience that's important. It's the understanding that has the value and that she's going to have the understanding. And that's why I said you can't unsee what you've seen. And we've all had the experiences of forgetting what we've seen, but eventually we remember. And there's a big difference between not having seen something and having seen something and forgetting and then remembering. So I really wanted to reassure her about that. And I also think it was really cool that she was able to notice how she was already listening to the call of her heart, or as we might say, the call of the wild, that all along she had known to listen to something deeper than her intellect, and that Mateo was doing the same thing as well. And that was how they ended up working with us, that they hadn't given up and they were listening to, you know, what might have been a very small seed of love, but there was something in both of them that were, they were both willing to give it one more chance.
Yeah, there's a phrase that I like to use. It's not an original phrase. I've heard other people use it. It's this idea, are you thinking with your head or are you thinking with your heart? Or speaking from your head or speaking from your heart? And I feel that's what's very present for me in listening to her and thinking about my session with Mateo, is that that's where they've come to. They're now speaking from their heart. That is the cadence of their language. Elsewhere before, they were very much engaged on an intellectual level.
And that is the rewilding of love.
It is.
And in the next segment, I wanted to bring it back a little bit to talk about the relationship, and you and I can talk a bit more about the practicalities of how this unfolds in relationships.
What's most important is that you know that you have that resource inside of you, that when the two of you come up against things that you're like, oh, we don't know what to do here, that you both have the capacity to get neutral
mm-hmm.
and to listen more deeply and to communicate to each other from that place. And it's with respect.
Yeah.
And it's you communicate, like I said before, as long as you need to.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, there's no time, you know, it's like, you just take whatever time. And if you get unneutral, like, we got to revisit this another time and go back at it another time.
Totally. Like, I know he has said before, he's like, sometimes he doesn't want to get into these, like, deep conversations because I'm closed-minded on it.
Right.
And it's like, I have to see my way and I need you to see my way. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of like one of those things where I'm just kind of, like, thinking about it and thinking back on it. It's like, should have been more open just to hearing his opinion, because maybe he would have changed.
Yeah, you don't
a
know.
A little bit of what
exactly.
I was thinking.
Exactly.
Or it would have solidified what I'm thinking.
Exactly. You don't know.
Right.
You could be really surprised and be like, oh, actually, I agree with him.
Right.
You know, I didn't think I would.
Yeah.
So you just don't. And it's like what happens when you're open like that is you get to hear your deeper, like I'm saying, mm-hmm. that deeper wisdom guides the process.
Yeah.
And if you're meant to be going over that way, then you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm on your this side now.
Yeah. Or know? I just agree to disagree and then that's it. And
yeah.
that's respectful too. But I know that, like, for me, it was just like, I'm selling you on my point and you should be thinking the same way I am. And it's like, no, doesn't necessarily need to be that.
And it doesn't need to be that. And it's absolutely okay for the relationship to not have to agree on everything. Like you can't agree on everything. That'd be impossible.
I like the way that you're kind of gently bringing her back down to earth in a sense here, because I think it's important that, you know, she sees something, she's obviously uplifted by that and excited by that. And I think that it's important to consider, or being helped to consider, that there will be moments in the future, not too distant future, I'm sure, where you'll get caught up or she'll get caught up. And that's not going to be the end of the world. But it's important that she maybe remembers what she's seen here, and that and that will help her on a practical level to negotiate those challenges as and when they show up, which they will. And so you're kind of, I guess, trying to point that out to her.
And I thought it was very helpful that she was able to see how she'd been very close-minded in the past.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because that will help her hopefully put herself in Mateo's shoes in the future too, and be a little bit more empathic rather than being close-minded, seeing it only from her point of view.
Yeah, you can hear some common ground here, even in what she's saying, between what we've heard in your sessions with Mateo. Mm-hmm. So that makes me very hopeful as well. And that in that space of having an open mind, I did, as you're saying, I did want to look back to the practicalities and help her see how having an open mind, having an open heart, is what's needed when communication is happening in a couple relationship, and that when that's not available, communication tends to not go well. And it's not really that complicated, but we have to know the difference between when we're caught up in our position, when we're caught up in a closed mind, when we're not really open-hearted, and when we're not there. And what happens with most couples is they try to communicate from a place of fear, a place of righteousness, which are all indicators that the mind is closed and the heart is closed, and communication doesn't go well, and then they take that to mean something about their relationship.
Yeah, it seems to be that the ticket is to communicate from one's position of righteousness, when the real way, as I see it, is to always try and put yourself in the other person's shoes. And I think that when we do that, we, once again, that's another way that where we become present, because when we're putting ourselves in their shoes, we're listening deeply. And if we're listening deeply in that sense, again, we're not engaging with the intellectual machinery and taking ourselves elsewhere. We're fully present to them and what is. And that in itself is something that's very settling. And in that position of empathy, it's easy to see how compassion is pretty close. And that's the sweet spot. That's the point where people get the shift that they need in a relationship to feel like it can work here.
And what's exciting is that they both seem to be experiencing that capacity for empathy right now.
Yeah, it's lovely.
So we'll just finish off with this last segment from the session.
I feel like, which is really weird, within 24 hours, like, it's such a complete 180.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even from like this morning,
mm-hmm, yeah,
like just kind of just being more in tune with yourself and just being like really like at ease of things and just being like, you're not in control. You're not going to figure it out. It's not going to happen. Just go with it.
Yeah. And I know it's amazing, because you have the difference of experience between sort of weekly and this. And that's what I love about this, is that each session, like, it's almost like there's a month in between sessions in terms of how they work.
I'm like, how did it happen so fast?
I know. It's just amazing. But it's because you're settling. And it's because that intelligence wants to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take a lot. And that's why, you know, hear, sleep, relax, mind open, comes in.
Yeah.
Like, that's the formula, basically.
Yeah. And if you take out, I mean, he always mentions, like, more simpler life. But, like, now I actually see it. Like, taking out all of the chaos and everything, like just being in a moment, I'm like, it'd be nice to come back every once in a while and just be
you know where it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really interesting to view, and it's almost like, how is this not more common sense? Like, how is this not?
Well,
more...
it is common sense right. now. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But it's like, how is it not for other people?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I understand what you mean.
It's
but
really
once
cool.
you see it, you're like, it is common sense.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It definitely is. It's also like, wait, I was overcomplicating everything, and I was thinking that things weren't complicated, and I can handle it. And it's like, what?
I know.
Yeah.
It's always funny that when our understanding goes up, we look at how we were before. We're like, what was I thinking? Like, that's just really normal.
Literally. I'm like, this whole time, I'm like, I got to be this boss and try to handle everything.
Yeah.
It's like, no, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lot nicer not to have to.
It's so much nicer. I feel like you can breathe
that's
and just
right.
chill out. So
yeah.
It's good.
It was a really nice way to end the session on that high note. And it's really common when we see something new to look back at how we saw things previously and to be kind of horrified. I know that I felt that way after I've seen things fresh. It's like, really? I behaved that way or I thought that before? So I was hoping to help her navigate that in a kind, gentle way that, of course, it's going to look kind of crazy when you look back once you see something fresh about it. And that she's now more connected with her own common sense about how to navigate the relationship.
Yeah, it kind of almost reminds me of my experience at school with mathematics. I always imagined it was extremely complicated. And for the most part, it still is. But on the rare occasions where I was able to solve a problem, it was the inherent simplicity in that problem that always kind of blew my mind. That it's actually, oh gosh, yeah, wow, this is really simple when you understand it. And I think that this is what's happening for her. She has now quite a good understanding through this insight that she's had. And she sees the inherent simplicity in it. And obviously, yeah, it sounds like complete common sense. And,
yeah.
and that's really what we're sharing.
And she's also valuing a quiet mind.
Yes, absolutely. And you can see that reflected in her voice, the cadence of her voice.
Yeah, she's liking how she feels and she realizes that she wants more of that, which is wonderful.
Yeah, she's got a taste for the soul.
Taste for the wild.
That's right.
So we've done quite well, I would say, with both of them individually. And so now the proof is in the pudding. What's going to happen when we bring them together?
I know.
Is it all going to go south?
This is where we should have our sound man put in a heavy drum roll.
So next session, we'll be sharing how our joint session was when we brought us all together again.
Yeah, exciting.
So take care.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Rewilding Love. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know by subscribing on iTunes, and we would love for you to leave a review there.
iTunes reviews will steer people to this podcast who need help with their relationships.
If you would like to learn more about our work and our online Rewilding community, please visit our website, therewilders.org.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week.